And the book of Revelation. We'll begin chapter 9 this morning. Revelation is a wonderful book. It's a book that teaches us that the control that God has over things. It's also a book to teach you we're looking at things from the perspective of God. There's a spiritual world going on. And in that spiritual world, we have no clue. All we see is a physical world. There's a lot of things going on in the spiritual world, and we get some of those pictures as John's been recording them, as what he was told, as what he saw, what he heard, and he's just writing exactly what he sees. The danger with the book of Revelation is that people don't allow it to explain itself. That's the danger. For many years, that's what I always see, is that if you jump to a conclusion about something, wherever you're at in the book, from that point, that conclusion will be yours. And so you'll begin to view the rest of the book through that conclusion. And I'm speaking for me too, the same way. I've got to be very careful that we need to let it tell us. The book is not intended to be broke down like a lot of verses are in the Bible. They're these pictures that they're exaggerated, trying to describe what God was trying to accomplish on earth. I had a fellow one time tell me in the church that he completely disagreed with my approach to the book of Revelation and the conclusion I came up with. And so as he began sharing that with me, I asked him, help me, where did I miss it? Tell me what it's about. And to this day, he never told me. Still don't know. But he said he disagrees. And then I found out, sometime after we had talked, he has a favorite author and he's been reading his book, and that's what he was basing it on. So, but he couldn't tell me specifically. So sometimes you get into those things, and I can understand, but you got to be careful. It's the only book that comes with warning. You know, I mean a real specific warning here. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Was involved in the seven churches of Asia and involving their day and time, and it was going to deal with things that would soon take place, Revelation 1:1. They were to heed it, they were to read it, they were to hear it, and they would be blessed if they would, because the time was near, Revelation 1:3. Well, we've already had a picture of God and His position, majestic position as Creator. All heaven worshipped Him, chapter 4. Chapter 5, we had Jesus taking a book that was in the right hand of God, apparently had been there from eternity, or from the beginning, and He took it, He was worthy to open, no one else was. And it was sealed with seven seals, and if you remember, each seal Jesus would break would reveal a picture. And boy, it was getting worse and worse that was going to start taking effect on the earth. Then when they got down to that seventh seal, when Jesus broke it, prior to Him breaking the seventh seal, all of heaven, tens of thousands were breaking in praise because there had been saved people. There were people who were marked. And then when He broke open the seventh seal, which is the final seal, what happened in heaven? Dead silence. No one said a word until this one angel came before God. And he presented before God a censer of the prayers of the saints before the throne. And then he took out a censer full of coals from the altar and he throws them to the earth. And there are peals of sounds of thunder. There is lightning. Something is about to take place. There were seven angels, had seven trumpets. Trumpets were given as warnings. And so the first angel steps up and he sounds his trumpet. We're warning the earth. And the first trumpet, one third of the earth was harmed. In what particular part? The greenery. We have a third of the greenery that was harmed. Not complete, just a small devastation of some things. Greenery is going to affect man's world. The second trumpet sounded, and the next thing there was, it was a third of the sea died, and the shipping was halted for a little bit. A third. Two-thirds still remained, but there was an effect. Third trumpet sounded, and there was a third of the fresh waters were affected, and it said many died from drinking the waters. You know, we see that today. A lot of times in other places where water's corrupted, people die from it. Then the fourth angel sounded, and the heavens above and were affected by it. Not all, just partial affected the heavens. Well, after these things happened, the next thing, there was this eagle flying, and he made a proclamation. What was that? Woe, woe, woe to the earth. Because the last three trumpets that were about to sound, the last blasts, the last three warnings are about to come. The first four just handled with the creation. The last three are going to be specifically dealt at man. And I'm talking about physically. And we'll begin to see that. Look at chapter 8, verse 13, and we'll read on into chapter 9. Then I looked and I heard an eagle flying in mid heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth, because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." Verse 1. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven that had fallen to the earth, and the key of a bottomless pit was given to him. Here's the first woe, and what does John see? There's a star that falls from heaven. Notice what John does to the star. Do you see anything? He calls the star a him. He personifies the star. And noticing, he talks about the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. What else did John see? That he was given a key. That key was to a bottomless pit. Some versions may use the word abyss. It can't be, you know, it can't be recognized as far as the depth of it. It's just this bottomless pit. And you know, as I started looking through here, notice the terms he'll start talking about: given, allowed. What does that tell you? Yeah, God is in control. It is all controlled. It's not just sporadic things happening out there for no reason. It's all under control. And so he has this key to this bottomless pit that he was given. Look at verse 2. He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. Well, you know, if he's given a key, what's the next thing he's going to do? He's going to open that bottomless pit, that abyss. And what happens? And I'm asking you this because I want you to let it paint a picture. That's what this is for. Apocalyptic speech does that. It paints a picture. What happens? Smoke. Was it just a little puff? Like a great furnace. And what is it? What? At what point? It darkens the air, the sun out of this thing. You know, if you think back, the eighth plague on Egypt, darkening the sun, darkness in the middle of the day. You know, I had looked at it, and I just want to say it for your sake. Somebody mentioned last week that a lot of these things may have lined up with creation and Genesis 1. I'm not too sure about that. It could be. But I'll tell you what, each of these plagues that are coming, or each of the things, are a lot directly out of a judgment on Egypt when God was trying to set His people free. I mean, it is a direct correlation to a lot of the plagues there that we have. And so it's kind of interesting because the Egyptians were plundering the people of God. The Egyptians were hurting. And God had enough. And so He has to do something about them. Well, now all this smoke comes up. And notice verse 3. Then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and power was given them as the scorpions of the earth have power. What comes out of this smoke? Locusts. Plague on Egypt. But what was different about these locusts? Notice first off, it says power was given them. Again, it's control. But they're like scorpions. How many of us knows that locusts are like scorpions? You ever seen a locust like a scorpion? See, so these aren't just normal locusts. And they've been, and notice, we know that because it says they had been given power. So there's something different about them. Verse 4. They were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their forehead. What were they told to do? What's normal for locusts? To eat the greenery. What were they? They were specifically controlled. Guess what, locusts? You're not going to do. You're not going to eat the greenery. In fact, he says in verse 4, they're not told to hurt the grass, but he says, but only the men. These locusts had a target. And who was the target? The ones that didn't have the seal of God on their forehead. Do you remember back in chapter 7, verse 3, when these four angels were at the corners of the earth, holding back the four winds? Chapter 7, verse 3, he told them to do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we've sealed the bond servants of our God on their forehead. There was nothing take place until what? Bond servants had to be sealed on their forehead, because when this next thing started, these locusts came out. They've been given power as a scorpion, and they were told not to touch a greenery. Then guess who they go after? The ones that are not marked. You tell me the importance just from reading that. You tell me the importance it is to stand with God in times of judgment. I mean, if you're reading this and you're hearing and you're one of the faithful brethren, you've already heard some of you are going to have to die. You already heard some of you, there have been some already die because of the testimony of Jesus. How important would this be to hearing something like this right now? Yeah, God's going after. God's going after certain one. You know, back in chapter 8, when the four trumpets sounded, it went after the earth and the things on the earth. Now, we're going after man. There's a reason for all of this happening. This isn't just sporadic. God has a purpose with it all. And all John's doing, I'm writing what I'm seeing, everything. And this is a horrible looking picture. Well, he says in verse 4 again, they were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads, verse 5. And they were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. Do you notice in verse 5? They're not allowed to what? What does that tell you they can't have the ability to do? They have the ability to kill. guess what they're not allowed to do? You're not allowed to kill men, so what are you going to do? Torment. I mean, their purpose, here's this fifth trumpet sounds, and their whole purpose to do one thing. They come out of this great bottomless pit. They're going out there. They've been given the power of a scorpion, but they can't kill anybody. But boy, they're going to torment. They're going to torment men for 5 months. Now, why do you think 5 months is there? What does 5 months tell you? What have we learned about some of the numbers? Go ahead, John. Yeah. There will be an end to it. You know, we saw that the church of Smyrna, they would be cast into prison for 10 days, a relatively short time. That's all he's trying to do. 5 months, what does that tell you? It'll be a little longer than 10 days, but for 5 months, they're going to torment and all. You know, now what if we talked 5 years or 7 years? See, you'd be stretching it, or 70 years. See, you'd be stretching. So the numbers, instead of trying to figure out what all the numbers mean, he's just placing thoughts in the mind. This is under this fifth trumpet. Any questions or comments you have here? Okay. Well, he says at the end of verse 5, their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. Anybody in here been stung by a scorpion? Stay away. Well, I know. John, have you been stung by a scorpion? I've never been. What is it like? Wow. Arm? Painful? Extremely? Extremely. Well, I've never been stung. Anyone else? But you want to add to it? I'm telling you what, scorpions are bad news. And they have the power. And when they sting, but not to kill. Continue. Verse 6. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, and death flees from them. Is this purposed? Is it purposed? Absolutely. From the sting of these scorpions, what does man do? I want to die. What does God do? I'm not going to let you die. Oh, you know, you've seen people, we've been in situations where you've seen people who are so sick, who hurt so bad they just want to die. Why, Lord, just let me die. And guess what the Lord says? No. Why do I keep suffering like this, you know? Well, for the Christian, we don't know that. But for the non-Christian, hey, oh, death just flees them. They can't come to an end. We're suffering here. Now ask your question again. You're talking about verse 4? See, those who have the seal of God on their forehead would not be touched by these locusts. These locusts are going after everybody that does not have the seal of God. See, that's why back in chapter 7, they put the seal of God on the mark of all of God's people on their foreheads. So whenever these were released, this angel sounded as a warning out there. These were released. These locusts did not go after the people of God. You know, real similarities to what the Egyptians had when they put the blood over the doorpost. That way when death came, death would pass over that house. Well, you got to have a seal of God on your forehead as a saint. God recognize you. I'm your God. You're my people. This isn't going to touch you. Would that be a good news right about now? You don't have to worry about this coming after you. It is encouraging, and that's what you're saying. It is very encouraging to read things like this, Betty. You're right. You're right, because it shows that God's protection. Even though some are losing their life, God's got control of this. Well, let's keep going. Verse 7. The appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. And on their heads appeared to be crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. What kind of description is this for a locust? Yeah. I mean, their first appearance, how did he see them? Like horses what? I mean, they're prepared for battle. Those horses are lined up, and the only thing that keeps a horse when a horse has been trained for battle, that horse wants to go. All that horse knows is it wants to go. Well, here these horses are, and the only thing holding them back is the riders. And so he talks about these locusts are like these horses. They're ready to battle, and all they're waiting to be is released. You know, they're arranged up there. He talks about their heads. There appeared to be crowns like gold. And they had faces of men? Exaggerated. But he's trying to get a picture to heart and mind of the readers. Look at verse 8. They had hair like the hair of women. And their teeth were like the teeth of lions. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. I have no clue why he talks about their hairs like the hair of women. Other than, you know, it may have been pretty, but they're not soft and gentle. They're not soft and gentle. You know, when you talk about teeth and the breastplates of iron, are you going to be able to kill them and stop them? No. Nothing's penetrating them. So you're not going to start this exaggerated language to get across a point. They are awesome looking, they are scary looking, and they have a purpose to torment. And they're going to sting. Verse 10. They have tails like scorpions and stings. And in their tails is the power to hurt men for 5 months. What's this? What is he seeing? We got the front side of them. They have a tail like scorpions. And where's their power? It's in that tail. And they're going to hurt. So their appearance is there. They're ready to go. And John's just writing. What a picture. Verse 11. They have as a king over them the angel of the abyss. Let's just stop for just a second. What did he call him in verse 1? A star. And what did he call that star? A him. In verse 11, who do we know that star is? He's the angel of the abyss. He's an angel. Now see, if you came to a conclusion in verse 1, you know, when this fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and you started seeing this picture, and you started seeing, you know, this key of the bottomless pit was given to him, well, that must be this. See, you have to let the verses explain themselves. Now he comes through and he tells us who that star that fell from heaven was. He's an angel. And what was his position as an angel? He was a king. He was a king over who? The locusts. They're all controlled. So you have this picture of this king. He was given the key to the bottomless pit. Yeah, he had the authority. He opened it up. He's unleashed this thing this angel has. He's over the locusts. These horrible locusts that have to act like a scorpion. And they got one purpose, to torment for 5 months. Look at the middle of verse 11. We'll just read it all together. They have as a king over them the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he has a name Apollyon. Now you may have a side note there. Abaddon, the Hebrew word, means destruction. Apollyon, the Greek word, means destroyer. You know what? If you're a Jew that spoke Hebrew, guess what you'd get? It's the name of this angel. You know his name. He's a destroyer. You know, if you were a Greek, if you spoke Greek language, guess what you'd know? I know what his name is in Greek, Apollyon. You know, and so destruction, destroyer, they would get the message. This angel, he's their king. And He has a purpose in doing all this. Wow. Well, keep going. Verse 12. The first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still coming after these things. How bad was that trumpet? I mean, the first one's past. 5 months to torment. You can't die. You're going to be hurt bad. Everyone doesn't have that mark of God on them. Huh. Well, you mean it could get worse? Absolutely. Just line it up and see. Verse 13. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which are before God. One saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year were released so that they would kill a third of mankind. What's the picture? What's been waiting? Four angels. He says they're at the great river Euphrates. They've been held back this whole time. They've been bound. This trumpet sounds, this voice comes out, and the four angels, what's unique about them? Tell me what's unique about them. They have been prepared. How exacting have they been prepared? Yeah. Do they know the year? Do they know the month? Do they know the hour? How exacting are they? What's their purpose then? To kill a third. And 2/3 is going to be left. We're going to kill a third. They've been prepared for this very time. Release them. Verse 16. And I want you to just listen to the description of them. The number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. How would 200 million horsemen sound? Horsemen, not foot soldiers. Their army had 200 million horsemen. Deafening. Now, I want you to notice the enormity. This is where a lot of people, when they're studying the book of Revelation, they'll hear 200,000. They always think this is China. It's going to be China's last throw at the United States because they're the only one to have this kind of population, you know. So you come up with all these crazy ideas. Just for your information, if I got my numbers right, in America alone, counting children, men, women, and children, we have around 307 million in population. He uses this back here in the first century, 200 million. The enormity. Release these angels. Here's the number of their horsemen, of the armies. Do you think they're going to get this job done? How would you like to be on the Lord's side knowing that you had an army of 200 million horsemen on your side? How'd you like to already heard that there's these scorpions? They're going after everybody who doesn't have the mark of God. How'd you like to have that God for you? That's what the book of Revelation is about. Showing God does protect His people. He is for His people. He'll do it. Well, verse 16. The number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And this is how I saw in the vision the horses and those who sat upon them. And what do you think he's about to write? This is how I saw them. Let's don't try to decipher it. John just said, this is how I saw them. The riders had breastplates, the color of fire and hyacinth and a brimstone. Man, there's some colorations. You know, fire, you think of what you see when you look at a fire. Hyacinth is a dark blue. Brimstone, a sulfur, yellowish. Can you imagine the breastplates? That's the breastplates of these. The breastplates, the color of fire and of hyacinth and of brimstone. And the heads of the horses are like the heads of lions. And out of their mouth proceeds fire and smoke and brimstone. What's amazing? Anything you see amazing about this description? I mean, they're fierce looking. It's 200 million. You're wrapped up. They're coming out for your favor. Attacking this world. I mean, and you know what? This is the same language that he uses in Joel chapter 1 and 2, talking about the plague of locusts, where they have teeth of lions and they have breastplates of iron. Same language. It's Old Testament language, and we don't read enough Old Testament to get familiar with it. He's describing, John said, this is how I saw them. They're lined up. They're ready to go. Continue on. Verse 18. A third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which proceeds out of their mouths. What does he call that fire, smoke, and brimstone? But what does he call them? Plagues. They're plagues. And it comes out of their mouth. How many does it affect? A third of mankind. Now, it's not devastating to all. There's a lot of people lose their lives. But you still got two-thirds on this earth remaining. So it's not devastating. Verse 19. For the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents and have heads, and with them they do harm. This is a fighting machine. Out of their mouth comes these plagues that kills a third of mankind, and if they don't get you on their way by, they're going to get you with the tail. See, they're going to fulfill God's purpose. Now, you got to remember this. These four trumpets, the first four trumpets were warning on creation. God's now started the second one, and He's killing man. There is a reason all of this is happening, and we're going to learn the conclusion to it here real quick. Verse 20. The rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands so as to worship demons and the idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. What was the purpose of all of these things happening? Why is he attacking man? You need to repent. That's why all this happens. It's to get people to recognize God exists. Stop following all this other false stuff and follow God. Two-thirds of mankind still remains. You know, we have a lot of the same thing. I said, well, I go back in Egypt. Why do you think God sent those plagues on the Egyptians? Each plague got a little worse. What was He doing to the Egyptians? Would you change your mind? Would you soften? You know what Pharaoh did? Yep, and God said, okay, I'm going to make it worse, until it came to the point that they lost their firstborn. You know who didn't lose their firstborn? Those that had the mark of God, the blood on the doorpost, did not lose their children. The rest, they lost their firstborn. Can you imagine? And all for one reason. What was the one reason? Get people to repent. Now, you know what? I'm amazed sometimes in our day and time, in our world, we don't believe it happens. I'm amazed at people of God that cannot even open their eyes. You know, we'll have devastating floods here in the United States in certain areas. And all of a sudden you'll hear overseas somewhere else, they're having devastating floods over there, killing people. And no one ever thinks, could it be a trumpet of God sounding an alarm, warning people on the earth? Or all of a sudden there's a plague that hits, and all of a sudden a plague somewhere else hits, and this famine and things start happening. No one thinks any... You think God's just sitting in heaven doing nothing? What do you think God's trying to do on this earth? He's trying to save His creation. His creation has moved away from Him. Yeah, and what's the only recourse God has left? Think about it. He wants man to repent. How's He going to get man to repent? We ought to be more aware of what's happening. All of a sudden we have volcanoes going off. we'll have an earthquake going off in the United States. All of a sudden, you'll hear about a tsunami happening. Then you'll hear about earthquake, a devastating earthquake overseas somewhere. And all these tens of thousands of people are missing and gone. And everybody's sitting there saying, oh, poor boy, we got to get them aid. Got to get them. And God's sitting there saying, sound an alarm. I'm telling you, that's what all this is about. He's doing it back here at this time because it's going to happen under their time too. All of this was to get people to repent. God attacks man in man's world for a reason. And to say that God kills men, that they don't have a chance, man's the one who goes astray. God is righteous. And He always does things righteously. Now, look at verse 21. And they did not repent of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their immorality, nor of their thefts. What did they not do? They didn't repent. Now, let me ask you this. We've tormented man for 5 months, and now we're going to kill a third through different plagues. And man still won't believe that God controls it. Where does it put God? What position? In a corner? Yeah. What position does God have left now? What recourse? You see, they didn't want to repent of their murders. You see, any time you cast God aside, the murders, the sorceries, the immorality and thefts, that's the direction man's lives take. And we see it happen all the time. And God's trying to get them back on track. And He'll do anything that He can to do that to save the whole. And here you are. We're reading about what God did. Does it encourage you to be faithful to the Lord? Hold on. Hold on. And we're just now in the sixth trumpet. We ain't got the seventh one yet. And we're not even through with the sixth one. And we'll see what happens there. All right. Thank you very, very much.